This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And thank you for coming on yesterday. I was just putting my underdog picks in.
Oh.
Yeah. Jonathan Kuminga's one of them.
You going over? Higher? Lower?
We're going higher.
Okay.
14 and a half points.
Okay.
I expect this one to be on cruise control in the fourth quarter. And Steve, to give Jonathan a couple extra minutes. Keep getting those legs underneath you, boy.
Oh, he needs it.
Yeah.
I mean, he only played 3 minutes in the fourth quarter on Tuesday.
Yep. I expect this one to be under control.
And that's what Steve told you and Dibs yesterday when I think it was Dibs that asked him about Kuminga not closing the game on Tuesday. And he essentially said, I mean, he didn't say it in these words, but essentially the answer was, if JK's not playing well, doesn't deserve to close, he's not going to close,
yeah.
Which he shouldn't. No one should.
I mean, Steve Kerr has been very, very clear that this whole Jonathan Kuminga return or any other subject for that matter, nothing is going to get in the way of attempting to win the basketball game. And if anybody on any given night looks like they're not quite up to par, you get less.
It's a classic like Warriors content machine moment because the Warriors are so good at this. It doesn't matter what's going on. They are always like the main topic, especially for us, but around the NBA as well, even if they're not playing great basketball. Like they were the number one topic around the league before the trade deadline.
Yep,
when they
sure
hadn't
were.
Been playing well. It's just so fitting that it was Kuminga who was injured and it's Kuminga coming back because if it was, I mean, even if it was Pajemski or if it was Moody, like it wouldn't be nearly as big of a deal because Moody has a contract extension and he's here for a while and Kuminga has always been this hot button topic and he deserves more minutes. He deserves more run. How's he going to play when he comes back? If it was anybody else on this roster, maybe other than the big three, the veterans that were dealing with a 2-month long injury, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. But it's the Warriors. It's going to be a big story. So of course it's Kuminga.
It's kind of a funny way to look at it. It's a little bit cynical. I get it. And it's just kind of like a joke. But at the same time, if you do step back, if you just left your fandom in the trash for a day and you look at the Golden State Warriors, as you just said, a content machine.
Yep.
They're an entertainment entity. And if you just looked at them through that lens, forget winning, forget losing, and forget your care. Just the idea of, are you doing things in an interesting way with interesting people? They've kind of been perfect for 15 years.
Yeah, or you just have a writer in a back room in Hollywood somewhere saying, how could we spice this up a little bit?
I'm telling
you. Let's give their young rising star who's searching for a contract extension a two-month injury, and when he comes back, the team is playing basketball where they simply can't lose.
I can't believe you're saying this, because my lovely Christy does this every year, because she's not like us. She's not like, Warriors, gonna win! We gotta win a title! She's like, I think Draymond throws a barbecue before every season, and they sit down and they come up with the storylines. I'm gonna get suspended in January. You're gonna get hurt. We're gonna have a lot of rumors. Then we're gonna trade for a big name. Let's find a big personality. Big personalities got some history. Maybe he's mad at his team.
Steph, I'm gonna get ejected one game, and you're gonna cry on the court.
Yeah. How about one day if Steph just starts throwing the ball all over the place for no reason, and then they get in the locker room and go, you can't play tomorrow night. You need a break. You're not good anymore. Like, if you look at it that way, it's just kind of fun. The Warriors are perfect.
Oh, yeah.
They are, and that's why, as you said, like, they've literally joined the Lakers. Have you noticed this? I think we've slept on this. Last couple years, the Warriors are neck and neck with the Lakers in terms of the way the National Basketball Association media looks to them and talks about them as a content machine.
Yep, yep.
They're neck and neck.
And guess what? If they lose in the first round, they're going to be the talk of the offseason.
For sure they will.
No matter
what. By the way, if they lose in the first round, this is why my big question for the NBA would be...
If they lose in the play-in.
Well, I mean, Bob Fitzgerald joined us last week and said, I don't want to face the Lakers because of the way they get officiated. Mm. I want to know... I don't get mad at that. I want to know why the Warriors aren't officiated the same way. If they're neck and neck as a content creator, help them out.
A lot of it is, and this, honestly, this is a whole nother rabbit hole, and I could talk about it for hours. And
do it. We got hours.
We don't need to do all that today. It's partly why I respect the Warriors so much. Jimmy Butler changed it a little bit, but the Warriors have never been a team, and this is specifically Steph because he's the torchbearer and he's the ball handler and he takes all the publicity. He has never been the player, and the Warriors have never been the team that try to, for lack of a better term, foul bait, try to trick officials.
Yeah,
they've never been that team.
They don't have any head snappers.
They've never been that team. And honestly, it's like a compliment that they haven't been that team, because it's bad basketball. It's hard to watch. It's why there's so many fans out there who are kind of turned off by the idea that Shea is going to win the MVP.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Because it's the NBA almost encouraging that kind of play, and it's effective. It's what James Harden did, and that James Harden team came damn close to beating the Warriors in the playoffs a couple of times. It's an entirely different style of basketball, and like from a strategic standpoint, it's entirely different, and it's nowhere near as fun to watch. So I appreciate the Warriors that they haven't really ever like committed to doing that, because it is something that you actively decide to do.
No doubt.
If you're a player. And honestly, it's a skill. James Harden is amazing at it. Shea is amazing at it. It also takes a little bit out of you physically, because you have to be willing to fall to the ground, to take contact, and to accentuate it. And Steph, for the most part, has kind of decided, not for me. Like, he'll do it at times, but he doesn't do it to the level that others do. So I get, like, the Warriors don't get the whistle that some of the other, like, content machine teams do. I think part of it has kind of been conditioned, though, because they have never been the team that actively seeks that out in the first place.
No doubt. All right, Grandy's got an interesting take on where the Warriors sit in the Western Conference with regard to one specific angle. We'll get to that in a sec. Always here for your calls. Grandy in for Dibs. March Madness is here, which means Dibs goes into some sort of an where in the world is Carmen Sandiego thing, and I know that's over the heads of some of our listeners, so I apologize for that. I've been here for a minute. But anyway, let's go to Don in Hayward. Hi, Don. Appreciate your call.
John, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up?
First of all, the ideal matchup, you know, you said earlier was the Rockets. I mean, Alperen Şengün is a much better player at this stage of his career than Triple J. And if it was a one game, you know, NCAA style tournament, then I would say, yeah, you know, Memphis would be a bad matchup because, you know, John Morant can just knock you out like he did a couple of years ago in the play-in. But, you know, I think the Memphis Grizzlies are the ideal matchup, and we need to hope that they can get the third seed.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time, there's two things there. One, sounds like you've got a little bit more confidence in Houston than I do. It's not that I don't think Houston's good. I just think that matchup, there's so much in terms of things and little tricks that the Warriors will know that Houston won't. And yes, I'm not above saying it. The league will want the Warriors to win that series. There's no question about that. But as far as Memphis getting the three, I just don't see it. I don't think they're good enough to rise up above this group and end up as the three, especially how injured they are with Jaren Jackson Jr. out.
Yeah, and I think Memphis does have, they're more battle-tested in that regard. Houston specifically, I think the Warriors also have, you mentioned like all the tricks that they have, and I think you're talking about postseason experience.
For sure.
And that's part of it. I think the Warriors also have like the mental edge over the Rockets because they, and I know a lot of those players weren't, all of those players weren't there for those past Warriors Rockets postseason battles, but when you're a fan of the Rockets franchise or you're a player, you know the history, and you know that like the Warriors just have ownage over you. It's like Crook and Kipe talking on a baseball broadcast.
There you go.
Oh, there's a double by Chapman. He's just got ownage on that pitcher. The Warriors just have ownage over the Rockets. It's kind of like the Nuggets have ownage over the Warriors. The Nuggets have won 9 in a row against the Warriors. I think the Rockets won earlier this year in that 1-point game in the play-in in Houston, like 91-90 or whatever it was. The Warriors choked that game away down the stretch, and that snapped like a 14-game winning streak or whatever it was for the Warriors versus Houston. So you get into a postseason series, and say the Warriors go into Houston and win game one, everyone in Houston's thinking, oh no, they're going to do this again,
well,
aren't they?
And I literally couldn't even envision the Warriors going to Memphis or Houston and not at least getting a split.
One or two.
Like, I can't even envision those teams beating the Warriors twice in a row to start it. I can't.
The Warriors have the edge over Memphis in the season series. I believe it's 2-1, but if you look at those games, I don't think Ja played in either of the games the Warriors won. They had some injuries, and the one where Ja did, if you remember, it was
didn't they
in,
win by 50?
It was in Memphis.
Yeah.
It was Schroeder's debut game, yep. And the Warriors were down by like 40 at halftime.
Well, the Warriors, that was like, to me, that was the poster game for them just being out of sorts and out of sync. Yeah. So, you know, timing is everything. The playoffs would be a different animal as a whole. I'll put it to you this way. We can get into a conversation of Memphis or Houston. I'd be thrilled with either one.
Yes, but it's not the Lakers and it's not the Nuggets.
Yes, yes, I'd be thrilled with either one. So to that end, and by the way, just updating where we sit today for those of you who don't stare at this all day like we do, Houston is sitting in the two seed with a one-game lead on both the Lakers and the Nuggets. The Lakers the three, the Nuggets the four. Memphis then another game back is the five, and the Warriors another 2.5 back are the six, and they are one clear of the Clippers, and then Minnesota the eight. Do you remember last year when we joked, good Lord, the Warriors won 46 games and somehow ended up in the play-in tournament, and how many people with the Warriors are like, that never happens, like 46 wins, you're usually the three or the four seed. You're going to win 50 games this year and potentially still be in the play-in.
Yeah, they're 40-29, 13 games left.
The Clippers have 39 wins, the T-Wolves have 40, the Warriors have 40. Those are the 6, 7, 8, and we still have double-digit games to go.
T-Wolves have 11 left. Both the Warriors and the Clippers have 13 left. The T-Wolves have played two more. It's important to note the Warriors are two up in the loss column. That's a big,
That's big number. That's big.
Huge number, because the T-Wolves, obviously, you can't lose any fewer games than you've already lost. The Warriors would have to lose. The Warriors have to lose three of their final 13 games just for Minnesota to have a chance to pass them.
I'd bring it up, though, because if they did 46 wins again this year, you're going to not only be in the play-in, you're going to be on the road.
That would mean the Warriors would be 6-7 in their final 13 if they only win 46.
Correct.
They're winning at the very least 8.
Yeah.
At least, probably 9, maybe 10.
I would, yes. Assuming that
health.
Nothing bad happens. But as we're talking out this grouping, what was the thing you wanted to say with regard to the Warriors and their standing in that group?
Yeah, I woke up this morning with you just said it, we're staring at these standings 24/7, and I woke up this morning thinking about like who these teams are today and who they might be a month from now when the postseason starts, and I came to this realization, Willard, and I think the Warriors, among the potential Western Conference playoff teams, I think the Warriors have the most room for growth in terms of who they are in this instant or who they've proven to be throughout the course of the season and who they can be when the postseason comes around. And there's a few reasons why. Number one is Jonathan Kuminga's only been back for 4 games after 2 months off.
Okay,
Even if he doesn't like fit in perfectly and he's not playing like a superstar role player, like no matter what, he's going to be better than he is now just for the sake of playing more consistent basketball. He's going to be better.
Yep.
I also think while Tuesday was as playoff Jimmy as we've seen Jimmy be as a Warrior, he has another gear that he can get to. He still does not look confident at all in his shot. He takes it very hesitantly. There will come a moment where he's more in rhythm as a jump shooter, and again, you get him in those postseason environments and he just reaches another level. I want to ask Steve Kerr this. Unfortunately, I'll be on the air here today, so I can't make his pregame presser, but if I was, I would ask Steve, do you think he has another gear that he can get to, other than which is what we saw on Tuesday? Because I think, no doubt, he can't. That's reason number two.
Not to interrupt, but do we need to introduce a new portion of the Steve Kerr interview every week, which is Grandy's one big question?
Well, you know,
you could enter into that. You could have asked Steve. We had him on our show yesterday.
You know, Luke and I help you guys with questions for Coach Kerr.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think of all of those on my own.
And I put on there yesterday that question about there being another level that Jimmy can reach. But you guys did a great interview. It was 20 minutes, which is our general time with him, and there was nothing that was willing that you should have taken out. Just we didn't have enough time. There's so many things to ask him about.
Yep.
But I think there's another level that Jimmy can get to, and we haven't seen it yet. We definitely haven't seen it on a consistent level. So that's reason two. And then the third one for me, Willard, and this is what we're talking about with the standings. If you avoid the play-in, you have a week off leading to your first round
this
series.
This is huge.
There is no one in the NBA that week off will benefit more than the Warriors.
I agree with
no
that.
No one in
I
the
mean,
entire NBA.
Maybe the Clippers. Maybe the Clippers. They don't. Their players don't play basketball. Maybe the Lakers. Their players.
LeBron will be back. I mean, they got LeBron who's 40, but they've got a lot of young dudes they count on beyond him.
It's true.
The Warriors' three most important players are 35 or older.
I can't argue with you. You know what I mean? Like, I look at these Western Conference playoffs as you're either on this side or that side. And let's take the top eight teams. I think there's four of each. There's four teams who have never really achieved much. They've got youth on their side. And if you're healthy, you play. And you just press the gas. And especially come playoff time. That's Oklahoma City. I know they rested their guys actually last night. Still won by 33 points. That's how deep they
12
are.
12-and-a-half game edge.
Right, exactly. So they're in a little bit of a different bucket, but I'm still going to put them on this side where they're young, they're short on achievement, and they're high on effort.
And the Cavs have now lost three games in a row, oddly enough. So if there was an OKC-Cleveland finals matchup, OKC currently would have home court.
So OKC is one, Houston is two, Memphis is three, Minnesota is four. Those teams are young. They are pedal to the metal, and they have not achieved a whole lot. I know Minnesota went on a nice run last year. Memphis has done some things, but these teams have not gone to the big stage. And then there's four teams who are the exact opposite. That's the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Warriors, and the Clippers. Each of those teams has at least one player who's won a ring. They have veteran leadership. They have know-how. They have we've been there. And at times, in a frustrating way, similar to what happened to me 2 days ago when I got frustrated by it, they will stay calm, put their feet up, and have a cigar at a time when it feels like, dude, you have got to go win. Like, the Lakers, last night, they get a bunny because Denver sits their people, so they win. And how are they going to react with Giannis coming to town tonight? Luka's out! He's sitting! And I'm like, how can you do that? Like, you're sitting here staring at potentially the two seed, and LeBron's not playing, and the Lakers are just like, yeah, dog, whatever. We'll figure it out. And so that's what's intriguing to me, is when those two styles all meet here in a few weeks, what is going to show as the right way to have conducted yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but I also think the Warriors are a team, even though they are as veteran as you come. I mean, we made such a big deal over Steph resting, and it was a big deal. The Warriors have gone pretty pedal to the metal of late, too. Steph had played in the last 22 games.
Fair point.
Now, they are the example of the team that was in major danger and needed to put the pedal to the metal to just be in the situation they are now, which is still kind of danger because you're on the edge of the six versus being in the play-in, but they're the team that has kind of been forced to, by circumstances, play like a younger team and just say, you know what, screw the rest, we're going to go after this because we have to. The Lakers, yeah, they've lost a few games and LeBron is out. They still have a built-in leeway where they can take it easy. Denver is interesting because Denver, while they have won a championship, not like they've got any incredibly old guys that need a lot of time off. The Clippers are certainly in that spot, much like the Warriors and the Lakers are, but I don't know. I don't think of this Warrior team as a team that's holding anything back and hoping that that results to them being fresher in the postseason. They're a team that's playing as hard as they possibly can right now to win as many possible games, so they set themselves up for success in the postseason.
For the most part, and you're right. I mean, that's obviously that's a function, I think, of two things, which is how far down they were in the standings, number one, and the fact that they've rebooted their team with a new player who plays a lot of minutes, and I think they need to figure that out. They need to play as much together as possible, which actually is my question about the Lakers. And when you say that the Warriors are the team that has the most room for growth with this whole thing, I mean, I wonder more about teams like what we were just talking about, Memphis and Houston, because they are literally still growing, especially Houston. And I look at a team like Minnesota, who I still feel should be better. Like, I just don't understand why the Timberwolves, based on that roster, are not better. But if we're going to go to the veteran teams, I kind of look to the Lakers, because in a relative sense, when you look at these these two huge names they have on their team. I'd have to go back and look at how many games they've actually played together.
I think
you could do it on one hand. I think you can do it on one hand. And to me, as brilliant as LeBron and Luka are, that threatens them when they get into the playoffs if the two of them don't have that chemistry that the other stars in the West do.
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to Steph. LeBron's superpower, though, is just like immediately fitting with anybody.
That's true.
Even with LeBron, the more reps you get, the better you're going to be. So I hear you there. But like just in terms of, and you say the same exact thing about the Warriors. That wasn't even one of the reasons that I brought up. The more they play with Jimmy, you think the better that it's going to work. I just think the Warriors are in a spot where we always want to be peaking at the right moment, and I think the Warriors are in a prime position to feel like once the postseason comes around, where they look at who they are as a basketball team and they say, we have never played as well as we're playing right now all season. And you could say that about, say, the Rockets, who closed they've won 8 in a row, and say they continue that up for the rest of the regular season. And you could say, well, they are playing their best basketball better than they've played all year. And that might be true. The Warriors have that as a realistic pathway for them to the postseason. And then they have all the other things. Kuminga coming, rounding back into form. Playoff Jimmy turning it on. And then you have the added week off, which I know would help LeBron. And it would probably help Jokic. And it would help everybody. It's not going to harm anybody. But considering what Steph is dealing with and what Draymond's saying, they're all exhausted. That extra week off, if they avoid the play-in, it's going to help them more than anybody else. And you get that. Remember what happened before the 2022 postseason? Steph missed the last 5 games or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was at least that.
At least. And they won their last 5. He might have missed like the last 10. They had won the last 5. But Steph got to rest leading up to it with what turned out to be a relatively minor injury. And then Steph came back and had the postseason run that we remember. He was amazing all the way through the finals in Boston, game 4 in Boston, and game 6 in Boston. I think the Warriors, if they get that 6 or higher seed, they're going to be in a spot where they feel, one, as confident as ever, considering the way in which they close the regular season, because if you are a top 6 seed, you're going to have to play well to do that, and then they're going to feel as good physically as they have perhaps since the All-Star break.
All right, what if I threw this at you, and we can go here next. There's something we want you to hear from Steve Kerr yesterday. What if the alpha in the room for the Warriors is not Draymond Green and it's not Jimmy Butler?
Oh.
What if it's somebody else?
Where are you going here?
I'll tell you exactly where I'm going. Coming up next, we're going to play something for you that we really think you need to hear from Steve Kerr on the conversation we had with him yesterday. We're sponsored by Inn at the Tides. Experience the wonder of Bodega Bay at the iconic Inn at the Tides. We were there last year. It's beautiful. Enjoy a walk on Doran Beach and take a dip in the heated pool. Special midweek rates start at just $1.99 per night. Now through May 1st, breakfast included. Book your escape at innatthetides.com. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're here at Splash, just outside Chase Center, watching all of the madness. Grandy is in for dibs. This is Willard and Dibs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.